Sorry if this video is all over the place. I just want to start out by apologizing. I've been pretty upset at what's been happening in the last couple weeks. My heart is broken for people. And for the fact that this lockstep march towards World War III has pretty much been in the works for decades, since before I was born. So, you know, but I think you need to see what I'm about to show you in this video. I think everyone needs to see this so that we can understand the level that things are at. Because I really, really don't think people do. I didn't. And I've been on this topic for years and years. And I don't think that I even understood what I'm about to talk about in this video. So let's start. Let's go back for a second. The late 90s was one of the best times for films coming out in my lifetime, I feel like. I mean, there's a lot of great movies that came out before I was born, for sure. And the 80s had some wonderful stuff, too. But the late 90s, we had The Truman Show, we had The Matrix, we had Eyes Wide Shut. We had movies that were getting down to the core of something very, very deep that was attempting to be communicated through the medium of film. But one that doesn't really make a lot of people's lists, I think, as often, is the 1997 movie Wag the Dog. Which, if you haven't seen it, I'm about to spoil the plot for you, but it's not going to spoil the movie. You should go watch it if you haven't seen it. It stars Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro, and they are spin doctors who completely fabricate a war in Albania in order to distract voters from a presidential sex scandal. So the whole point of making a fake war is to distract people from a sex scandal. Which is really ironic considering that this movie came out 1 month before the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky sex scandal broke.
The president speaks forcefully with his most emphatic denial yet.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And then the Clinton administration subsequently bombed a pharmaceutical factory in Sudan.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Or you could say it's really ironic because during the president's impeachment trial over the Monica Lewinsky sex scandals, when the Clinton administration decided to start a bombing campaign in Iraq.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate.
Or you could say it's really ironic because the Clinton administration's spring 1999 intervention in the Kosovo War involved a bombing campaign in Yugoslavia, which is a place that bordered Albania where Albanians actually lived. But anyway, there's a scene in this movie, Wag the Dog, where Kirsten Dunst is made to look like she's fleeing this Albanian war zone, which is all being done on a soundstage. She's on a blue screen, and she's carrying this bag of corn chips, and they actually edit it out to make it into a cat, like she's escaping the war zone with her pet cat. And they fabricate this entire scene, sound effects and everything.
Screaming's good.
Some sound of screaming.
And then they send it off to the news to get reported on the news so that people will focus on something that's not the president's sex scandal. And they go through the whole scene of completely straight fabricating this war. And then they toss it on the news for people to suck that right up and believe it. And I'm sure there's people who watched this movie at the time and thought to themselves, nah, they would never do something like that in actual reality, la-da-da-da-da. Like, probably someone thought that. I don't know why anyone would think that at this point, but maybe somebody did. And I got attacked instantly for urging calm. Because as immediately as the news broke, instantly we were being told one narrative of what we should think about that and what we should feel about that. And that one narrative was coming out of governments and the mainstream media, and it was all pretty lockstep, exactly how to think and feel. And immediately people started taking sides and fighting with each other because that's what always happens. And I said, maybe you want to watch Wag the Dog and then come back to this before you instantly start jumping on this one narrative, one lockstep narrative that was coming out of governments and mainstream media. Maybe you just want to wait, since that's exactly what happened on 9/11. It's the exact same type of In fact, the similarities, I wrote a whole thread on X about the similarities, and it's crazy. It's crazy how many things have been exactly the same. And we didn't know exactly what was going on. And just saying we don't know exactly what was going on the moment that everything happened, and that maybe we should wait before everyone just starts screaming and fighting with each other and jumping on the one set of approved facts that everyone's been told, shown time and time and time and time again, that that is not what's actually going on. We've been shown that. And just saying that, I got attacked everywhere by everyone on all sides. Just, it didn't matter to say anything rational or logical at that moment. And what we do know is horrible. It's so horrible.
You say, does that mean starve the Palestinian people? Continue to, because they will be so hungry and will be so desperate for water and medicine that then they will give up Hamas?
It sounds callous, but I mean, this is a war.
But that's a whole different discussion that really can't be had on this platform. Those are discussions we have on other platforms that are actually supportive of true free speech. That's not what this is. This is a platform where only some people get to say whatever they want, but we aren't those people. But I'm pretty sure, and by now you've probably heard, that our governments here in the West all seem to be in lockstep towards World War III, checking every box off the list they possibly can to ensure that that's where we're all headed.
My warning to the Ayatollah was that if they continue to move against those troops, we will respond. And he should be prepared. It has nothing to do with Israel.
And I don't think it's hyperbole at all to say that the war unfolding in the Middle East right now is unlike anything any of us who are alive right now, any of you who are listening to my voice, is unlike anything any of us have ever witnessed in our lifetimes, literally ever. Because we have never lived through a full-blown war in the era of burgeoning AI and deepfake technology and full-blown social media networks like what we have now. The phrase atrocity propaganda has come up a lot lately. You know, back during World War I, the British had these cartoons drawn up of German soldiers bayoneting children and stuff like that, but they were cartoons. It wasn't true. It was just a way to get the public to support the war effort. But today, that's not the case at all. Today, you have the Foreign Affairs Ministry of Israel paying for targeted ads on social media and YouTube, which are directly being projected to people without no one's asking to see this. No one's saying, I hope I come onto YouTube today to watch, you know, the latest Taylor Swift video or something. And maybe Israeli Foreign Affairs Ministry can beam atrocity propaganda directly into my brain or the brains of my children. But that is what is happening right now, because they have spent millions of dollars, over $7 million in the last 2 weeks alone to target over 1 billion impressions of multiple different ads, some of which are extremely graphic, some of which are just super freaking twisted. Like this one right here is called "Babies Can't Read the Text in This Video, But Their Parents Can." If you're triggered by words about bad things happening, you're going to be triggered by this video. But it looks like something that's very inviting for super small children to watch, because it has, you know, cartoon unicorns flying around and rainbows and all this stuff. And then it talks about murdered infants by terrorists. And how they're going to do everything to protect their kids, so you should support them. It's just right into the brains of people this is getting sent. And there's way worse ones than this. I'm not going to show them for obvious reasons, but there's a whole article in Politico breaking down how Israel has completely flooded social media to try and shape really the West. It's really targeted at France, Germany, the UK, the United States, Belgium, The Hague. They've been targeting The Hague. I wonder why. With dozens of online ads, some of them very graphic, to try and get people to support this war. They're barraging people with these things. And it says down here that A spokesperson for Israel's mission to the EU said, "We would never post such graphic things before. But this is something that is not part of our culture. We have a lot of respect for the deceased." Adding, "The war is not only on the ground. Because the war, first and foremost, is in everybody's minds. That is where the war right now is being waged. It's in everybody's heads. First and foremost, literally before anything else that is actually occurring." And so, by the way, my child could have read that. I had kids who could read full sentences by the age of two. So I'm pretty sure lots of people's children could actually read that and be completely traumatized by it. So the answer is, horrible things happen to our children. We're going to do horrible things to yours. I don't understand why this is okay, by the way. It's putting it right into the minds of people, right into people's heads. And that's fine, by the way. This video, totally fine for them to put this video up. Not a problem to have a foreign affairs ministry directly putting atrocity propaganda into the minds of people during an ongoing war. And that's okay. But we get censored for saying way, way less inflammatory stuff than this.
Google removed 30 ads from this account with horrifying images after Politico reached out to Google for comment. I have to say that in the past week doing my investigation, I've seen videos with very graphic content appear and get monetized.
They've spent millions and millions of dollars to try and manufacture consent for what is now happening in Gaza. That's a thing. They're posting things where they in text, they describe heinous, graphic, disgusting things. And then they say, "But we can't show you because we're not allowed to show it to you," even though they literally just told it to you and left it to you to imagine it for yourself. And I just want to point out right now that we are the kinds of mind war, psychological operations that are taking place on the population right now and populations all over this world, on the people of this world. That is not something we have ever been subjected to up until this point. It has kicked into a new stage. This is the era of deepfakes. This is the era of AI. This is the era of not being able to verify anything except through a government telling you this is real, which really is just you having to trust that government. It's not you being able to independently verify if these things are real or not. And that goes for all sides of this conflict. That goes for all sides of everything that's happening ever since these tools have been released into our society, into our modern human society. We don't know. As much as it's outrageous and upsetting and horrifying, and it makes me extremely emotional because I don't want this war. I don't want any more war. I've lived my entire life in a world where there has never been a time where my country has not been at some kind of war. They might not have called it a war. That doesn't mean people weren't dying. It's still war. I don't care what you call it. And now we have reports like this one out of the Times of Israel. News outlets have been receiving hundreds of videos from both sides of this conflict that are completely fake. So this came out in the Times of Israel not even a week ago, and it's talking about how CBS News staff in Manhattan had to sift through 1,000 videos submitted from people supposedly on the ground in Israel or Gaza last week. Only 10% of what they were submitted was found to be actually usable. And the media is usually all about just putting whatever they get up on the news. They'll show you pretty much anything, it seems like.
Well, Colette, this is the crater that stopped Dave Kennedy in his tracks yesterday when, as you say, he was walking his beach here along Portmarnock Beach in Dublin. We're joined by Dave now. Dave, tell us, what was your reaction when you came across this?
Complete shock, to be honest. I was walking along just with the dog and came across the impact site. Fortunately enough, I love space and exploration and astrophysics, so I was a bit surprised when I saw it, but I knew immediately that it was an impact site. And then lo and behold, right in the middle of it was the rock.
Tell us about this rock. What about it made you think that this has to be a meteor strike?
So I noticed by the way it came in and where it was landed, it had created the big mound around. So that was everything from the inside that was blown out. But it's just the actual weight of it and its density. You're definitely going to have to get it checked to see what it's made of.
And tell us about the markings on it.
So across here you can actually see the way it's just scoring. So that would have happened as it's coming through the atmosphere and it was burning up. So that would have left the mark here before it made impact.
Now, finally, this lunchtime, the mystery of the hole on the North Dublin beach has apparently been solved, denting the hopes of a local space enthusiast who had hoped it was the site of a meteor strike. But footage emerged last night of two men digging a hole on Portmarnock Beach.
This time, it says some of the 900 videos rejected by staff were produced by so-called deepfake artificial intelligence technology, which is able to fool people into believing that someone said something they did not say, for example, or just fool people altogether. Like this video right here. This isn't real. Nothing in this video. This is Unreal Engine. This is a video game creation tool that can make things now that are so real. I don't even know how you would know, because if I had just seen that and that pink blobby thing wasn't moving around on the screen, I would think I was looking at a car on fire in the street. How would you know this was fake? A lot of what they're doing right now with this is so amazing, but you can't tell the difference. You literally can't. What people are seeing is openly being admitted that they're trying to sway people's opinions one way or the other. We're really to the point where it is very hard to know or tell the difference unless you're there, which is something we've been talking about for years, but now it's being used in this insidious way to further this war agenda. And I'm horrified that this is what is going on right now. Earlier this year, the United States and Israel participated in the largest ever military drill that these two countries have ever done together in history.
Over the past week, I've observed our CENTCOM troops participating in Juniper Oak 23 TAC-2 alongside our Israel Defense Forces.
So in 75 years, this is the largest military drill ever carried out by them. Of course, at the time, they said it was for no particular reason. No particular reason we're doing, you know, a massive military drill with 8,000 soldiers and 140 planes and a carrier group and all this stuff. No real reason, though. Just decided this year we're going to have the largest ever joint military drill in Israel's history. It's whatever, right? That was in January. In March, this came out in The Intercept, and I just need to read this to you because this is what I'm saying. This is part of what I think people don't understand. We now have U.S. Special Forces that are calling for the use of deepfakes in their psychological operations. And so this is from March 6th, and it says, U.S. Special Operations Command, responsible for some of the country's most secretive military endeavors, is gearing up to conduct internet propaganda and deception campaigns online using deepfake videos, according to federal contracting documents reviewed by The Intercept, and we're going to look at those in a second. The plans, which also describe hacking internet-connected devices to eavesdrop in order to assess foreign populations' susceptibility to propaganda, come at a time of intense global debate over technologically sophisticated disinformation campaigns, their effectiveness, and the ethics of their use. While the U.S. government routinely warns against the risk of deepfakes and is openly working to build tools to counter them, the document from Special Operations Commander SOCOM represents a nearly unprecedented instance of the American government or any government openly signaling its desire to use the highly controversial technology offensively. So this is a whole procurement document, and there's more in here than just the fact that they want to do deepfakes. I have looked through this document, which, by the way, it doesn't have a closing date till December 31st, 2025. So they have opened this up as an announcement for technology development and advanced technology development that they want. And I just want to read a couple of things to you. At first, it talks about how they're now operating in a communication contested environment where information is weaponized. It's a world of convergence, the point where the gap between non-state and state actor capabilities diminishes. And they want things in here, I've just hit a few points. They want things in here like standoff biometrics, which include a distance of up to 8 feet with the ability to quickly ingest physical, behavioral, physiological, and electromagnetic signatures, which can be used to measure response rates, provide confidence factors, and assist in determining campaign effectiveness. I mean, I get that it's a lot of word salad, but that's also horrifying. They want to be able to tell from 8 feet away if they scared the hell out of you with their propaganda campaign using your electromagnetic signatures. They also talk about touchless fingerprint capture at near and extended distances. They want to be able to capture people's fingerprints from a distance. Stuff I want to talk about is further down, way down, towards the bottom of the document, actually. They're talking about having payloads, the ability to send and receive messages in urban and rural environments, which include radio broadcast, television broadcast, cellular, including LTE and 5G, non-radio frequency communications, Internet of Things, loudspeaker, sonic projection, airdrop capabilities, electronic warfare, electronic attacks, long-term viability either with solar panels or energy sources, and holographic projection capability. Just sounds like Blue Beam to me. Then you go further and it talks about next generation effects of disruptive technology areas, which include non-traditional, non-kinetic effects. Technologies to effectively deny, degrade, disrupt, deceive, or destroy adversarial targets and infrastructure, which will be conducted at classified levels, secret and above. This document, by the way, is unclassified. And then it says directed energy and electromagnetic warfare, which is something, interestingly, that people have been saying on Twitter for like the last couple years, and they keep getting called conspiracy theorists over and over. But here it is right here. Directed energy and electromagnetic warfare, directed energy technologies for delivering non-kinetic, scalable effects on a multitude of hard and soft targets. Offensive electronic warfare payloads with overmatching target effectiveness at tactically and operationally relevant ranges. But then you get all the way down here to page 16, and this is where it covers military information support operations, which is what psychological operations changed into, so that it now sounds meaningless to most people and they don't realize that it's PSYOPs. MISO is PSYOPs, okay? MISO technologies for influence operations, digital deception, communication disruption, and disinformation campaigns at the tactical edge and operational levels. Provide next generation capability to collect disparate data through public and open source information streams such as social media, local media, and enable MISO to craft and direct influence operations and messages in relevant peer near peer environments. Provide a next generation of, quote, deep fake or other similar technology to generate messages and influence operations for non-traditional channels. Generate next generation capability to take over Internet of Things devices for the collection of data and information from local populaces to enable breakdown of what messaging might be popular and accepted through sifting of data once received. So they want to be able to listen into people's Internet of Things connected devices to see if their deepfake and other psychological operations have properly influenced and deceived the people they were meant to influence and deceive. This would enable MISO to craft and promote messages that may be more readily received by local populace. So that's the level, okay, that we're at when our own government is openly calling for contractors to help them create these kinds of technologies specifically for use in psychological operations. And The Intercept says, when it comes to disinformation, the Pentagon should not be fighting fire with fire. I mean, they always come out. This is the head of the Brookings Institution's Artificial Intelligence and Emerging Technology Initiative who said this. And they always come out and say these things like, yeah, that's a really obvious thing they shouldn't be doing. It's going to be really, really bad. Shrug. Because they're going to do it anyway. Like, why are they even saying this? At a time when digital propaganda is on the rise globally, the U.S. should be doing everything it can to strengthen democracy by building support for shared notions of truth and reality. Deepfakes do the opposite. By casting doubt on the credibility of all content and information, whether real or synthetic, they ultimately erode the foundation of democracy itself. If deepfakes are going to be leveraged for targeted military and intelligence operations, their use needs to be subject to review and oversight. Another incredibly obvious statement that shouldn't even have to be made, and yet there it is. At a time when there should be building support for shared notions of truth and reality. I think our shared notions of truth and reality were completely destroyed during the COVID PSYOP. So now here we are, okay? And now they're openly saying this is what they're going to do. And the point of all of this that I'm bringing to your attention is something that James Corbett talks about, fifth generation warfare. And I was not aware of, I had seen Gans of Face Like the Sun, Canary Cry Radio. I saw him talking about this on X. What is fifth generation warfare? Because I apparently had some reading to do and I didn't realize it. And the way that it's explained is that warfare has gone through these stages where it used to be tribal, it used to be fought with everybody, and then at some point it became states against states. You know, the soldiers, they have uniforms, they have a specific flag they're carrying, and they're fighting each other in an official warlike manner. But that hit a peak around the third generation, and it has been slowly devolving back down into a very decentralized warfare scenario that involves everybody now, whether they realize it or not. And when I read that, I thought, you know, that actually makes a lot of sense considering what we just saw during COVID, where they're more interested in testing out people's perceptions of what is going on than they are about testing the products involved in what is going on. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that is what happened and has been happening. And so I just want to read a little bit of this to you because I think it makes a whole lot of sense to explain. It goes very far in explaining where we actually are right now. And he says, we're in the middle of a world-changing war, and he's not talking about Ukraine or Yemen or these things that are going on. He's talking about an even broader war taking place everywhere on the globe that involves virtually everyone on the planet, young and old, male and female, military and civilian. It is the war of every government against its own population and every international institution against free humanity. And this is no ordinary war. Most of the victims in this war aren't even able to identify it as a war, nor do they understand that they're combatants in it. It's called fifth generation warfare. He goes through kind of the history of these different ages of the generations of warfare. He said first, second, and third generation warfare brought us to the late 20th century when nation states began to lose their monopoly on war and military combat returned to a more decentralized form. In the fourth generation, the lines between civilian and military became blurred. Armies tended to engage in counterinsurgency operations rather than military battles. Enemies were often motivated by ideology and religion, making psychological operations more important than ever. But some argue now we have entered a new era called fifth generation warfare, which is still debated on what actually defines the fifth generation. But for the purposes of the editorial, Corbett says he's not interested in that debate. He's just going to use a decidedly non-academic definition from an Al Jazeera article. The basic idea behind this term is that in the modern era, wars are not fought by armies or guerrillas, but in the minds of the common citizen. There's two important things to note about this definition. The first is that fifth generation warfare isn't being waged against standing armies of nation states or guerrilla insurgents, but everyday citizens. And the second is that the war is not being fought on a battlefield somewhere, it's in people's heads. I will expand this definition somewhat to include the fact that the war is being waged at all levels, not just mental. Corbett says, fifth generation warfare is an all-out war being waged against all of us by governments and the international organizations to which they belong, against each and every one of us right now. It is a battle for full spectrum dominance over every single aspect of your life. Movement, interaction, transaction, innermost thoughts and feelings, desires. Governments the world over are working with corporations to leverage technology to control you down to a genomic level, and they will not stop until each and every person who resists them is subdued or eliminated. The most incredible part of all of this is that so few know that this war is even taking place, let alone that they are in it. And then he goes through and talks about all these different things, neurological warfare, information warfare, biological warfare. We know all these, economic warfare. They're openly saying right now, there's a guy, he got up on stage. Where's that clip? Hold on, I'm gonna play you a clip.
I think the problem that we've had is that we have people decided they didn't really want to work so much anymore through COVID, and that has had a massive issue on productivity. You know, tradies have definitely pulled back on productivity. You know, they have been paid a lot to do not too much in the last few years. And we need to see that change. We need to see unemployment rise. Unemployment has to jump 40, 50% in my view. We need to see pain in the economy. We need to remind people that they work for the employer, not the other way around. I mean, there's been a systematic change where employees feel the employer is extremely lucky to have them, as opposed to the other way around. So it's a dynamic that has to change. We've got to kill that attitude, and that has to come through hurting the economy, which is what the whole global, you know, the world is trying to do. The governments around the world are trying to increase unemployment to get that to some sort of normality. And we're seeing it. Got to kill that attitude, and that has to come through hurting the economy, which is what the whole global, you know, the world is trying to do. The governments around the world are trying to increase unemployment.
This guy is a CEO who sat up at the Financial Review Property Summit and straight said that the world economy is purposefully being manipulated to impose financial pain on everyone on purpose to manipulate people back into submission. They're just straight saying stuff now to people, completely inflammatory stuff, and they don't care. They have no qualms about whether or not you heard that and you recognize that it's directed at you. They're just openly saying it. Because we're also living in a time of what is known as the apocalypse, the great revealing, the great veil of everything being torn down so they could show you everything. And they're just in your face with all of it. It's incredible. It's an incredible and horrifying time to be alive. I don't know what else to say.
It's worthwhile with all of this gaining, you know, some steam and public perception to be clear on some facts. First and foremost, the vast majority of this money is going to American companies and jobs. Right? Because those are the people who are making the Abrams tanks, the ammo, and everything else. And you take Lockheed Martin, which makes the HIMARS that have been core to Ukraine's counteroffensive. The company announced it's going to increase its workforce in Camden, Arkansas by 20% just because of this new demand. That money's going to America.
But these are the types of warfare that Corbett is talking about, and they're not being, that's the war. It's fifth generation warfare. And until people realize that that's where we are, because I think people still think war is between, you know, countries, or it's between a country and an insurgency group. But very clearly, that is not what's going on here. When you have them openly calling for in an unclassified document that anyone can read, it's available. I will put a link. Go read it for yourself. They're openly saying we're going to be using deepfakes now, which are not real, in psychological operations to target populations with influence campaigns. They're openly saying this stuff. They're just putting it out there now. This is the kind of stuff that used to be classified, and they never would have admitted it in I don't even know how many years. This is the kind of stuff that it took, you know, the church committee hearings to even come to a point of some of this, you know, being told to the public. It took a lot of, it was going on for decades. And they were able to hide it, and people didn't know about it. Now it's just, they're not even trying to hide it now, is the point that I guess I'm trying to make. And we're in this time where the technology is slamming into this environment that we're all in this post-COVID world, with everything that just happened, with trust in institutions and governments and media and all the probably the lowest it's ever been in modern human history. And now we have all of these new technological advances, and they're going to be weaponized in this way. And it's openly being admitted. And that's what I'm trying to say. Every time a new thing happens is everybody takes sides and fight amongst themselves, while everything that's going on in the background marches forward and continues. And people keep wondering why nothing changes. Well, it's not going to, because the same thing keeps getting done over and over. You know, it's this idea that if we just kill enough people and have enough wars, like we're going to war our way to world peace. Like, that's not going to happen, by the way. There's no such thing as we're just going to fight wars and then that's not how peace happens, not through war. Peace does not happen through war. Humanity has had hundreds of years to learn this lesson. Just, why don't we ever have peace? Gee, I don't know why. I don't know why. Let's have some more war and figure it out. This is about to touch off. They're doing everything they can to ensure that it will. And they've only been talking about making sure that happens since long before I was born. So this is not new. This is just the latest version of what's being pushed here. And the thing is, I was not awake and aware on 9/11. Back at that time, I had a lot going on in my life. I pretty much ignored as much as I could. If I had an opinion at all, it probably came from Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. People like Aaron understood what was happening that day. I didn't. But I understood it this time. And the feeling of the burden of that knowledge is so painful. It's so painful. And my heart is just broken for people. The amount of people now who are just like, yep, World War III, that's just unavoidable. This is the way things have to be. Like, no, this isn't the way things have to be. This is the way things have been purposefully driven for decades and decades. And people are just accepting it. And I guess they'll just accept the world state after that, just to say, well, that's the way things have to be. They brought everybody down to a point of just accepting all of this stuff. And then they've taken this whole thing to the next level. People don't even realize, like, they're inundating everybody with the most advanced, psychologically weaponized propaganda of literally all of known modern human history right now. And I just think everyone should keep that in mind as we go forward, because that's where we are. That is what is happening. That's the level that things are at. I love you guys. Hug your children. Hug your family members. Tell people you haven't talked to for a while how much you love them. Because this is insane. It's insane.